To ask Brother Jim Parkinson to lead us in prayer for Brother Paul Malley's service.
Our dear Heavenly Father, again, hallowed be thy name. We would ask for thy blessing and guidance on Brother Paul, that his words may be edifying, and that we may look for things to change our lives for the better, to be more honoring to thee. Remember thy dear ones throughout the world, till thy church be complete, that thy kingdom may soon come. We ask in Jesus' precious and most worthy name. Amen.
Brethren, we have two messages of love from Sister Ann and Brian Kutcher. May the Lord bless you at the convention and all online. Love to all. And also, we have from John Balin, greetings from the San Francisco class, which includes the following people: Marge Armenta, Linda Trexera, John Balin, Steve Milroy, Robert Virgil, and Douglas Rawson. Now, coincidentally, I have a note here from Marjorie. That would be Marjorie Armenta. Hello to all. I have enjoyed this convention. Love sent to you from the San Francisco Regional Bible Class. May the Spirit of the Lord bless you all. From Sister Marjorie Armenta. And our next speaker is Brother Paul Malley. Now, as we were testing the microphones to see if everything's okay, he said what I would expect him to say: can you hear me in Connecticut? And with his voice, maybe. Brother Paul has fire. Now, Brother Paul, the years are catching up a little bit, but he's still got the fire in his heart. And he's going to speak to us. I have left that.
Watchman, what do you see?
Watchman, what do you see? We're pleased to introduce Brother Paul Malley.
I failed to bring the love and greetings of my class in Groton, Connecticut, and so I'll do it now. They all voted, all 10, 11, I don't know how many there is, 10, 11 that show up on Sunday mornings. And they're very pleased that we are visiting San Diego. I think it's been 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. Right, David? About right. Just before my operation, Some of you may or may not know, I had a heart aorta valve put in me. And I had a choice between a cow's valve and a pig's valve. Yeah, the surgeon says, what do you want? I says, I don't want a pig's valve. Unless it's kosher. But I'll take the cow's valve. But I have to alert my listeners, then when you hear me say moo, it's not me. Watchmen, what of the night? What do you see? In Isaiah 21, 11 to 12, the most unusual question is raised. A penetrating question, a searching question. Watchmen, what of the night do you see? And it tells us that everyone is a watchman. It doesn't say watch woman, but it includes women in that too. Watchmen in the tower, looking out, observing, collecting. If I had to ask each of you the same question in 2011, what would you observe? What would you say? What would you report? What do you see? As Christians of the Lord's people, we have a primary responsibility to function as watchmen. There's a lot of scriptures on that. Let me quote a few of them. So that's your second, you know, if they say, who are you? You say, I'm Christian. Who else? Why? I'm a watchman. 2 Timothy 4:5 states, watch thou in all things. Some things, few things, and many things, all things. I don't know how you do watching. You're on the couch watching the TV? That's watching. I'd like to watch the news. I'd love to see those areas that I don't normally see. I mean, we saw Libya and Egypt. It was great episode to see that. And of course, we see Israel. And of course, we've been to Israel just recently. So, what would you observe? What would you see today? What would you say? What would you report? In 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, let us watch and be sober. That implies that there's going to be some pretty bad reports you're going to collect. Also in Mark 13, 37, unto you I say, watch. Also in Isaiah 21, 5, prepare the table, watch the watchtower. And so if I had to ask each of you watchmen in this date, what do you see, what would you report? I think there's four positions that would be reported at this time. Four possible reactions to the question. Four different surveillances. Four different groups giving four different reports, resulting in four different types of watching Christians. Let's go through these reactions. Now you'll see that I have a little sketch on the board, and I expected Jim Parkinson to tell me that's not concentric. Then he asked me, did you use an apple or a prayer? Apple or a pear for that. Looks more like a pear, doesn't it? But one, this is the sketch of the globe that we're on. And I think you'll see that this looks like North America and South America. And if we had the time, we would have built another one in here and gave it a little dimension to it. And show you the Europe, Middle East, and Asia. Now, I think you'll agree with me that there's a lot to see in this globe. I don't know how you get your information. I use the news and TV. I like the news and TV. I also do a lot of reading. Daily papers is a must. National paper is a must. And then a weekly newspaper is a must. If you don't know the names of these, mine is the New London Times, and then the national paper, I either go USA or New York Times. Sorry about Chicago, I missed that. But New York Times, and for the weekly newspaper, I use Time Magazine. Time Magazine has a good summary of what happened the week before. So if you don't know how to collect information, those are some examples that you could use. So the key, most important thing is you keep current. What's going on? We're people with great expectations. So let's go through these groups. And I'm going to summarize what the groups are. And then later on I'll ask you, what group are you in? The first group says, I don't see anything that's new. We'll symbolize that with a circle. There's nothing going on. The world is like it's been for thousands of years. The world continues as it always has been. History is repeating itself. It's cyclical. We are living, reliving history. We have learned from history, so we are condemned to relive it. Events are drifting along. An abdication here, a scientific breakthrough, a flood, an earthquake. Economic systems continue as they've always been. There might be some ups and downs, but they all remain the same. This first group reacts this way because they have no expectations. And if you have no expectations, you won't expect anything. But you have expectations, and you're watching to see if those expectations are coming along. First group has no anticipations. They are not future oriented. Or if they are, so far in the future that it's no meaning for the present. This group eventually falls out of the watching function of the Christian and just drifts along. In many ways, they have lost their way. They're lost because their lamps are not trimmed and burning. Remember the text says, watchmen, what of the night? It's night. What do you see? So that trimmed and burning is found in Matthew 25 on the bride and bridegroom. They had no light. They cannot see. This group sees nothing because they have lost the most exciting part of the Christian experiences, the prophetic experiences. They ignore prophecies because it's too controversial, too argumentative. They refuse to stick their necks out because they're afraid to get it cut off. They skip over the many biblical texts that are provided. Thank you. Thank you. Great. This first group of watchers see nothing because they are not expecting. See nothing because they're just drifting along. See nothing because they have no light to see the way. Of course, one may argue that they're waiting for a way out. Now, there's a second group amongst the Lord's people that react differently to the question. This group sees many things, but they're all negative. And so we'll put down for this group too. They're negative. So many things wrong. So many things that are not right. So many things that have to be corrected. They see threats, violence, earthquakes, crime, killing, wars. They observe what a terrible world we're living in. Sometimes they're tempted to say, I want out. I don't want to live in this globe anymore. They sense a grave concern, even a despair. Scriptures that indicate the world is coming to an end. The end of the world. That's why they say it's a, you see people saying the end of the world. There's not going to be an end of the world. If you mean it, the globe. Planet Earth is going to remain forever. What they mean is end of civilization. We don't have a correct civilization. Well, Toynbee talked about that a lot. You'll recognize Toynbee as a very smart historian. And Toynbee says the one solution to the world is they become one. The one solution to the world is they become one. No nations, no borders. Planet Earth, that's our home. And many scriptures are cited to justify this observation. Scriptures that give their watchfulness a sense of common concern and even despair. Scriptures that indicate the world is coming to an end. End of a world that can be no longer sustained to the human race. I prefer to call that end of civilization. Not end of the world. Because people get confused with world. They think it's the end of the globe. And they conjure up all kinds of theories like a comet coming in and bangle. No, there's no destruction of planet Earth. There's going to be a destruction of the systems and the civilization, the things that we have, not we, but what the world has developed to order their affairs. For example, this group is quick to point out that the world is out of control between inflation and recession. We cycle back and forth between those things. The economic systems of the world, including the United States, are not working. We're talking about $14 trillion. You know, years ago when I remembered being involved with trillions, I said, that's an awful big figure. I can't believe we'll ever reach that. They're talking about $14 trillion as a debt ceiling. Wow, that's a lot of debt. Hard work people see this monthly eaten away by inflation. For poor people, the price of a single meal now exceeds a day's income, which is striking fulfillment of the biblical prophecy in Revelation 6:6, a whole day's wage for a loaf of bread. Inflation has reached a point which is now undergone. Hang on to your money because you're going to consume it unless you got somewhere you can invest it and make it stay up. It's out of control and the governments can't stop it. Money continues to erode at the rate of 13% and recently reached 20%. In Britain, it's 30%. In Brazil, it's 40%. In South Africa, it's 100%. In Israel, it's 180%. OPEC, the oil cartel, sets quarterly increases in the price of oil, which fires inflation. This is like throwing kerosene on a fire. Everyone seems to know how critical inflation has become. Few, however, sense the spiraling effect. The crescendo. It's not just inflation. It's a mushrooming inflation. In 1900, the national debt was $1.2 billion. In 1935, it was $29 billion. In 1955, it grew to $258 billion. In 1975, it was $533 billion. In 1979, last year, 10 years ago, It went up to 881 billion. Now, we're talking about $14 trillion. It's just going up. Doesn't show it going down. If this mushroom holds true, we'll reach the national debt limit of $14 trillion very shortly, if we haven't already. Friends, these figures are suggest a hyperinflationary blow-off in two digits, with the possibility of bankruptcy for not only organizations. I think there's one state already in bankruptcy. No, it's not new. I look at Michigan over here. It's not Michigan. They're heading Minnesota. That's the one. They are already in bankruptcy, which means they are not able to pay their bills. Well, I'm going to talk about the old. First of all, I'm going to call this globe that you see over here the old globe. And I'm not going to call it the old world. I'm going to call it the old civilization. That's what we've had. The systems we have been with us ever since the beginning of time. And let me summarize some of the things that I've observed as to what's the problem with the world. A little over 7 billion people, 2 billion people drink unsafe water. 2 billion people drink unsafe water. Forests are vanishing. CO2 is heavy in the air. Those of you who have got allergies are probably experiencing this. 140 plants extinct each year. 355,000 chemicals in aquifers and water. Only 50% of the cities have sewage plants. When I visited Nigeria in the early stages, used to have their plumbing was big. They let the water come out on the trough outside, on the trough, open trough, just like that. No sewage plants. Worldwide economic systems not working. High percentage of discontents and homosexuals. Don't be surprised. We have now sex on the same sex, same marriage on the same sex. Men marrying men and women marrying women. It's been legalized in New York. I think that's six states that have it now. Is that right? Six states. There are discontents in every aspect of life. I like the word that Darius, Armageddon. He didn't pronounce it that way, but it sounded interesting. Armageddon is still a world threat. Armageddon will occur here. That's the way the Lord will clean it up. If you were God, how would you get rid of all the problems that we will cite in a minute if you don't do it with a big Armageddon? Immorality continues to generate anarchy, lawlessness. We got signs of lawlessness right now in terms of the smaller countries. Greece is an example of it. They've been promised so many things, and they're expecting so many things, and they're rebelling about from the country. Climate seems to be changing fiercely. I don't know how many people. I haven't heard too many discourses by anybody talking about the climate. I believe that the climate is under control by Jesus. He's changing the climate, preparing for the kingdom. 4 black spots were found on the sun just recently. The black spots are burnouts. So the climate is changing. Gay marriages and the spread of AIDS. It's an epidemic in different countries and out of control. Abortions. We don't talk too much about that. 3,231 women have abortions in one day in the United States. Teenage pregnancies. 2,740 teenagers get pregnant daily. Daily. Drunken drivers. 100 million in accidents yearly. 90 million beer cans consumed in one day. 90 million beer cans. Premarital sex. 70% of women were not virgins on the wedding night. Married men. 50% had at least one extramarital sex during marriage. The divorce rate in the United States, 50% and increasing. 1.5 million couples living together are unmarried. They're just living together. Priests. We had a tough time getting these statistics. But priests in good standing. In good standing. That means they're good priests. Have sexual activities. And if there are 50% homosexuals, there are 50% heterosexuals. Dioceses, this is the Catholic Church. Three of them are already bankrupt. The Catholic Church, Manhilton in his book claims the Vatican with 100 billion in assets. But it's declining. And some of the schools sponsored by the Catholic Church are having a tough time keeping the number of students in there. The Christian ministers uncovering their sexual activities, such as Baker and Swaggart. Christianity in USA, 85% are nominal, 8% are evangelical, 7% are born-again Christians. The United States economy is running at $10 trillion. The national debt is reaching $6 million, and the U.S. debt per capita went from $4,000 per person to $20,000 in 15 years. 50 of the world's largest banks, 35 are in the United States and Europe, 15 in Japan, and the other are in trouble. Nuclear war, agreed by the experts, will happen sometime. By the experts, I'm not saying this, but the experts, there will be a nuclear war. You want to know how many are in stock? Russia has 6,000 bombs. The United States has 2,500. China has 400. Israel has 200. A nuclear blast. 45 million people are killed with one blast. One blast of a nuclear bomb, 45 million are killed. Zechariah talked about one third killed, not too difficult to understand. Peace. In 5,500 years of recorded history, civilization had only 300 years of peace. Terrorists are found throughout the world whose prime motive is religion and politics. Let's face it, the Muslims want to kill all the Israelites and Americans. And they want the Muslim religion to be worldwide. Microprocessors. Now, you probably don't know too much about microprocessor, but 50 billion have made society automatic. But the microprocessors, they age and they break down. They break down. Blackouts are common. Cold War between the Democrats and the Republicans. There's a war in Congress. Democrats, it's a different kind of war, but it's a war. The greenhouse effect. This is significant. El Nino, La Nina, tsunami. The weather is changing immensely. Hang on to your hats because you're going to see more of the same changes. China. Its 200 million soldiers have declared war on Taiwan, who want to be independent. And the United States is committed to support Taiwan. China's growing three times faster than the United States. Wage rates are from 25 cents an hour to $2.25 an hour. United States minimum wage rate is $7.10 an hour. Sewerage, 50% of the world's cities have abatement plants. 50% do not. Wage plants, sewage plants. So you're getting pollution into the air, into the soil, into food. World War III predicted. Ezekiel 2:21-14 predicts war between the East and the West. The East includes China. Our present level of civilization is not working. The old civilization is in terrible shape. We don't have the money to fix it, nor do we have the interest. And I said, Toynbee says 24 civilizations have come and gone because they are not working. Well, that gives you a little picture of why the second group is saying we need to have cleaned up. We know that Armageddon is one of the cleansing effects. Let's move to the third group. Among the large people reacting to the question, Watchmen, what of the knife and what do you see? This group reacts differently. This group sees things of a positive nature. So we'll put down here the positive. This is the third group. This group sees only the negative. This group sees only the positive. Third group observes early beginnings of a new world, a new civilization coming in. They observe small starts, so small that some people have missed them. Small uproots. They observe the seeds of a new age. Scripture has decided to give their watchfulness a sense of hope, a sense of excitement. Scriptures are cited to indicate that. The third group is quick to point out that the curses that have plagued mankind are being lifted. The curse of scattered, pulverized, and advanced, exhausted Jews are destined, they're now together. Matthew 23:37 is being lifted. The regathering of Israel has gone against all of the social, political, unknown, and cultural. So incidentally, as I think about it, if you really want to know God's time clock, watch Israel. Israel is the key. Don't watch Iceland or England or the United States. Israel. Israel is going to, what happens to Israel is what God allows to happen. So, the regathering of Israel has gone against all of the social, political, and economic and cultural laws of civilizations. 2,000 years dispersed in 70 countries, speaking 70 languages, 70 different cultural ideologies, coming to an end in a unified polity, is a new start, a new root, a new beginning. The regathering into the working is unable to. They got groups. They got, I count 8 groups in there. I haven't got too much time. I've got to move along here. So let me give you the new world features. The new world features. This is group 3. These are the ones that observe. That's supposed to be in the new world. New world, and we'll call it a new world. New civilization. New things are coming in. And this new world is having an effect on the old world. Let me cite some of the new things. White man supremacy is ending. The black man, the brown man, the yellow man are emerging. White man control is leaving. There's even talk that the United States will lose control. Wives are becoming more participative with husbands. Genesis 3:16, no longer servitude. Colonialism and slavery is disappearing. I just got started, brother. Divine rights of kings gone. Kings are disappearing. Globalization emerging. High technology never before experienced. Man on top of Mount Hood can talk on a cell phone to someone in Cluj, Romania. How do you take those things? You say, oh yeah, that's pretty good. On Mount Hood, talk to somebody in Cluj. That's fantastic. There are over 60 million cars in the world. The flying car is coming. They got the design, the conceptual design established. They need to develop some safety, but the design is there. The flying car. We got 60 million cars. You're going to look at the sky, you're going to see all kinds of cars up there. 20 new drugs by pharmacists will come in 5 years to treat diabetes and heart disease. Thousands of pharmacies. Book printing. And compulsory education. You know who was the one who started compulsory? Martin Luther. Compulsory education. It's now in one world. Knowledge is doubling every 5 to 6 years. A college degree means you have knowledge, but not necessarily wisdom. Wisdom is essentially practical. No theories, guesses, or conjectures. Marconi, an Italian inventor. We got to remember that. He was the one that invented the radio and wireless communications. His inventions were the basis for the cell phone. The cell phone by Dr. Cook at Motorola. That's our brother here from Chicago. You can listen to people anywhere in the world without having wires. You could stand on mountaintops. We are now with a new concept, the citizens of an old world with the citizens of a new world. We're beginning to identify the earth as our home. And many things are occurring that we identify. I don't live in Chicago, I live on planet Earth. Now there we have 3. I got to get to the fourth one, of course. The fourth one has all three. Fourth report sees all three conditions on planet Earth. See, some parts of the Earth continue as always. But it also sees that some parts of the world is in bad shape. And in other parts of the world, why? Things are great. Who's right and who's wrong? Which one would you pick as being the watchman that sees the right condition of planet Earth? Would you pick number four? I think so. That's what I would pick. It reminds me of the three blind men who were asked to find out what the elephant is like. Find out, you blind men. Tell us what the elephant is like. So one of them was searching around. Of course, he's blind. He couldn't tell. But he would just feel. He felt something like a rope. And he says, the elephant is like a rope. All he had was the tail. And the second blind man was feeling around. And he feels this great big soft wall. He says, the elephant is a soft wall. And the third one felt around and he says, the elephant is a snake, because he had the trunk. Three answers. Thus we see, how do we discover, how can we handle complex things? The answer is, you stand back and you look at the total thing. You see, the elephant is right from the position that they have and from the point in the elephant, but they're wrong in seeing the totality. And if you want to see what's right about this, the issue of our watchman, get the total view of things. When you look at prophecy, don't see it in one specific way, see it in a total view. And I think my time is up. So let me conclude. The upheavals of today are the results of a redirection of the human race. There's a new vibration, a new unfoldment, and a new unrest. The old order is changing, yielding place to the new. The greatest thing that can ever happen to the human race is happening today. Get rid of the old and welcome the new. We must stand back and see the total picture. And one of the most important thing that's happening is Jesus is involved with the new things wiping out the old civilization. Okay.
Thank you, Brother Malley. We should be watchmen, we should be looking, and there's plenty to see. Question is how we digest it, but we know that it's all working in the direction of that new world order that's going to be blessed. Thank you, Brother Paul, for your kind of panoramic view of what's happening today. We're going to close with Brother Paul's choice of hymn number 32, The Prospect. Hymn 32, reassemble again at 12:30 for a question meeting, and I believe we still need questions. So if we don't have questions, then the panel will be spontaneously questioned. So we will see. Hymn number 32.
Soon we'll sing on the other side.
Brother Paul, would you come forward and close with prayer? This is the mic.
Our Heavenly Father, we continue to acknowledge Thee in everything we do. Thou art our God, the giver of life, the giver of gifts. Thou hast given us so many gifts that we can't stop thinking about them. The gift of Thy Son, who has made it possible for us to approach Thee and to call Thee Father, because He taught us, call You our Father which art in heaven. And it's good to be a son. And the gift of the invitation to the high calling, we're grateful for that invitation and we thank Thee for it. And we recognize, Father, we can't do it without Your help. Because to be Christ-like or God-like is to be almost perfect. We need Thy help, Lord. There's so many things that take us away from that. So we love Thee, Father. We want to do Thy will. We want to learn of Your plans and Your purposes. And we want to do Thy will and pray for all the others who want to do Thy will. So we thank Thee and ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.